As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to Stars Matter, a recruiting podcast from The Athletic. I'm Mitch Light, joined by Ari Wasserman. And Ari, I was going to tease this by saying you're out in sunny California at the Elite 11, but you're just in a hotel room and it looks kind of dark and dim in there. But I
actually
hope you're enjoying.
The lighting in this hotel room is terrible.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you don't look as good as normal. You look good, but not
as good as normal. I don't look
as good
as normal? Oh,
right.
Okay. Well, maybe it's because I was vomiting all weekend. Maybe that probably has something to do with it.
Yeah, Ari was sick, but he rallied. He's at the Elite 11. Hope you got a good night's sleep with no baby waking you up. That's always nice on a road trip. Was that the case?
Yeah. I got really good night's sleep. So I'm really fired up to be out here. I thought the quarterbacks looked really, really good. And I'm
assuming we'll get into that. We're going
to
get into
that. But this is one of my favorite trips of the year because it's like the only opportunity where you're able to be around so many great players at once.
The best of the best. So we got obviously a lot going on in the world of recruiting. Another huge quarterback domino has fallen. Some post-Arch momentum at Texas. Ohio State has climbed to number one in the rankings. We'll go over some other of the big commitments of the past week. Have some mailbag questions in trivia. But first, let's stick with the quarterback theme. Arch Manning news came after our regularly scheduled pod last week, but we followed up with an emergency pod and then a roundtable pod, so we don't really need to cover that specific news. You can find it there. Hopefully you listened. But so you're out there, and this morning you wrote a story on Dante Moore, who's the top quarterback, the only top 50 national quarterback who is not yet committed. And so he's got sort of an interesting story. It's not quite Arch-like in its stealthness, but he's not a guy that talks a lot.
No, he doesn't like talking. It's like funny because he made a line about like he knows that people try to call him. And he's like he doesn't like talking on the phone because he doesn't want anybody to misquote him. And he kind of sounded like Tony Soprano or something, or like from the movie Casino.
That was a good
line.
Like
when you talk to people, do you like put your hand over your mouth, you know, so they don't record
you? Or as an offensive coordinator that doesn't want anyone to see his play.
But like, you know, it's really hard because when you talk to a prospect who doesn't want you to know where he's going, then, you know, the entire reason why people read the stories that we write is to figure out where they're going, you know? So it's like you go into it knowing you're not going to get the information that people really, really want. And, you know, part of the thing that we do at The Athletic that's a little bit different than other places is that we try to like put ourselves in their position a little bit, you know? And right now with the NIL stuff, it's probably not that easy to be a recruit right now, you know, in terms of like the way that you're perceived nationally and by the public. And he made a comment during his interview that I'm assuming that he did because he kind of has to, is that, you know, he saw what happened to Jaden Rashada when he committed to Miami over the weekend. And, you know, there's conflicting reports about why he went to where he did and, you know, didn't go to Florida, went to Miami, NIL, all this speculation on the internet running rampant. And he just said he doesn't want to be a part of any of that. And, you know, to me, I kind of, you know, understand and can sympathize with that situation. But the truth of the matter is that he's the only remaining five-star prospect at quarterback position that hasn't made an announcement. And if you look, I think only three of the 15 or 16 or four of the 15 or 16 players who are competing at the Elite 11 haven't issued commitments yet. So it's just kind of a nice reminder that, you know, quarterbacks are recruiting or are committing and being recruited at an earlier pace. And when you're a player like that, if you hold out longer, then all of a sudden the limelight's all on you. And it's like, you're kind of like Will Smith in the living room at the end of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like, you're by yourself. So, you know, I don't know where he's going to go. I think the entire world assumes that he's going to go to Oregon, you know, because it seems like things like ebb and flow a lot of times. And, you know, for a minute there, it's like Notre Dame picked up CJ Carr. So then he might be going to Michigan. Then he goes to Oregon. But it's like, would anybody be surprised if, like, in 2 weeks, all of a sudden, like, nine crystal balls came in for A&M? Like, would anybody be surprised if he committed to Oregon today? Like, it's like really hard to really know exactly what's going on behind the scenes. So I tried to write a story about, like, just the position that he's in, and I hope that people perceive that well.
Yeah, and we'll go back to quarterbacks in a minute, but I don't know if you were you were talking, I noted that Texas just picked up a commitment from five-star wide receiver Jonte Cook. So we will that's huge news.
He doesn't text me back the last few days.
Yeah.
I had a feeling that was going to be happening soon.
Yeah, I did a good story on Jonte. You can do a Google search for that a couple months ago at a camp. So we'll get back to Jonte Cook and what's going on in Texas. But just some other observation. I mean, I won't say who it was. You jokingly sent me a video. You took a video of a really good quarterback who underthrew a receiver for like 5 yards and said, like, this guy sucks. I know you were just kidding. But what are some of your other observations of what you've seen out there? Go ahead.
And I'm going to write a column about this, and I said it on the Andy Staples show, but, like, these guys miss throws all the time.
And like, they're throwing against air, right? They're throwing against air.
Yeah, well, and there's nobody in their face, and it's very windy because we're on Redondo Beach, and you can, like, feel the ocean air, like, breezing down onto the – and it makes me want to live here more than anything. Not that that was something I didn't realize before I got here, but I got hit with two balls yesterday. Like, I felt like it was, like you know, target practice out there a little bit, except they were missing the target and I was the unintended, you know, recipient of it. But it's just a reminder that these kids are human. And it's funny, and I'm going to make this point in a story that I write this week, Mitch, but CJ Stroud is here and Caleb Williams
is he a counselor?
Here.
How does that work?
They've got their counselors. They come and they work with the, I think they get paid and they work, you know, as at the camp, and they do workouts with the players. So it's like, as the high school athletes are going through the drills, CJ Stroud and Caleb Williams were going through them as well. And I think it's insane. Like, anybody who has been in a college program for a while, how much stronger their arm gets. And Devin Leary's here from NC State too. And you watch these guys throw it, and it's like, holy crap, they are so much better than the high school players. And it's like,
just think about it. I'm just thinking, like, these guys, most of them, they're all rising seniors. And I know if you're this good, you've developed early and you might have quote unquote redshirted in high school. You might be a year older, but some of these kids are only a few, 3 years post puberty. I mean, they're still growing into their bodies.
And like, CJ Stroud might be the number one overall pick in the draft next year. So like, I understand that there's, but like, it's just kind of a reminder of how big of a difference there is for 2 years of like weightlifting regimens and diets and college programs and game experience. It's like they were doing these drills and there's nobody even in their face and they're missing passes all the time. And CJ Stroud and Caleb Williams get up there and they're just firing. I mean, the ball comes off their hands and with such velocity and accuracy, it's insane. But you also can see the flashes and the glimpses of that to come for these other guys. And like, I was like looking last night, and the player that ironically was one of the more impressive players to me was JJ Cole, the Iowa State commitment that we wrote another about a few years ago. And I saw his
Mr.
feet,
Bigfoot.
I saw his feet in real life. They're massive. Yeah. But it just seems like Iowa State got something there. You know, he's a big kid and he's you know, an in-state prospect who I think, you know, might, you know, get other offers and has other offers, and going to Iowa State is a nice little pickup for the Cyclones. And then the other kid that really blew me away was Chris Parson
from here, your neck of the woods. From Nashville.
Yeah, and I'm going to try to talk to him. He looks like a college player. Like, I thought, like, when he was going through the drills, and I might write about this, I'm going to try to get him. It's really hard because there's like a 15 to 20 minute window after, and you've got like 20 stories you want to do, and like, you want to talk to people for more than 4 minutes. and like people are all over the place. It's hard to like wrangle people when you're alone.
Well, he's on that list of potential stories if you come to Nashville.
Yes. And I don't know, maybe I'll save it then for that. But he has a rocket arm. I mean, like,
Florida
honestly,
State. Yeah, did you say Florida State?
Florida
bounds?
State now.
Yeah.
And I thought he was one of the college players when he was going through the drills. I asked Antonio, I said, holy crap, who the hell is that? I was like, is that like some starter at some Power Five school that I'm just not recognizing? And it turned out to be him. Like, he looks like advanced. So, you know, all these guys are good. I mean, Jackson Arnold had his moments. Pierce Clarkson has a really pretty ball. You know, I saw Eli Holstein was out there and, you know, was wearing a baby blue shirt and kind of separated himself in certain drills. Dante Moore, Malachi Nelson has a cannon and is super accurate. I mean, it's like you can totally tell why certain guys are out there, you know, on this playing field. Now, the thing that I think is most interesting about this is that a lot of the times, and maybe this is the reason why Arch Manning is rated the way that he is that all of these guys that are on this field have really great physical skills, right, Mitch? Like, they're all out here because, you know, they have the physical talent. Now, the thing that I'll be curious about is the ones that make it and the ones that don't are the ones that have the right head on their shoulders, you know, assimilate well into the locker room, are good leaders, understand the game. Yeah, like, yeah, all the things that come into play from an intangible standpoint. Like, I'm usually like roll my eyes at the coach speak cliches, but it's true. I mean, all these guys are very, very physically gifted. So, you know, there's a lot of different things to take away, but it's like Jaden Rashada, for instance, you know, and I spoke to him a little bit last night after it was over with Sweet Kid, you know, missed a ton of throws. And it's like, the speculation is that he's making $9 million. And it's just like, if I may pay $9 million and I saw him, I would be like, oh my God, this is not a sure thing investment. And it kind of like put into perspective. And I don't know if I'm even going to, you know, touch on it, because I don't want to sound like I'm giving the kid a hard time. It's just, I'm using him as an example of a reminder of just like, if you are going to pay a ton of money in the NIL, nothing is a sure thing. So like, this is a huge gamble. Even when you're talking about the elite 11 participants at the quarterback position.
And he is obviously a very good quarterback, perceived to be a good quarterback. He's a top 50 national player. He's been invited to the elite 11, but he's number 45 national. He's 7 among the quarterbacks. So that's, I think when fans hear that number, you can believe it or not. They're just assuming, if you don't really follow recruiting, that, oh, he's the best quarterback in the country after Arch. Well, according to the rankings, he's not. He's, you know, so not a 5-star. Doesn't mean he's not going to pan out. Hope it does for the kid with what's been going on there. But, okay, I want to transition to Texas. Then we'll go back to some topics that you've hit. Obviously, the big news last week was Arch Manning, and then kind of what would follow after. And they had a flurry of commitments. Sorry, they had 5 commitments on Sunday, but only one of them was a 4-star, wide receiver Jonah Wilson. And you and I texted back and forth, and I actually said this on a radio show today because they were asking me about recruiting, and I've learned so much from you about this. Yeah, I mean, you can see headlines, they got 7 commitments, but if they're not really raising the bar of talent, if they're just 3-star kids, then like, big deal. Those kids, they need to get the elite players. Well, on Monday, they got 5-star safety Derek Williams from New Iberia, Louisiana, and Texas now has 2 of the 3 top players in Louisiana. And then just as we started recording, 5-star wide receiver Jonte Cook, an in-state kid from Texas who all along it looked like it was going to be a Texas A&M battle. They flipped Billy Walton from Dallas South Oak Cliff yesterday, a former Oklahoma State commitment, a high 3-star. So they're starting to get there. The class is number 3 now. They have 3 top 100 guys, 4 top 100 guys, 3 5-stars. It's starting to get there, Ari.
Yeah, I mean, these are the types of commitments that I was waiting for. And I don't know, because the Jonte Cook thing just happened, but is it even reflecting in the rankings? Because they might be, they're 2 now, I think. So,
they're 2, okay.
Yeah, they already moved up to 2, and I think they have more 5-star players.
So Ohio State 1, Texas 2, Notre Dame 3 now?
That's right. And
okay.
Texas has the most 5-star players committed in the country so far, and one of which is the number 1 overall player in Arch Manning. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that they've got 3 5-star prospects on the top of their class now. And it's like, if they finish with 6, which is certainly within the realm of possibility with Arch Manning in the fold, it gets back to the realization of what we talked about so much a week ago, which is the impact of Arch. And it's just like, I don't know Jonte Cook very well. I've spoken to him once or twice. I would be surprised, and this is just my opinion, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Yep. I would be surprised if he was committed to Texas right now if Arch Manning didn't do it yet.
I think that's fair to say.
I think that
not saying he wouldn't end up there eventually. Maybe he would have at this point.
But like right now where we're at, there is a certain groundswell. And I was trying to get him on the phone so bad the last week because he is a really funny dude. Like if you've ever read any of his interviews, like
he says, I knew you enjoyed his interview. Yeah.
He's a very funny, like, you know, it's like he was the guy that was on Instagram saying or Twitter saying, I don't see, all I see here is swimming trophies when he was at A&M. Like it was like hilarious. Yeah. And like he was just joking, but it's just like he I think that he wants to play with the right person, and he was the person that told me at the Under Armour camp that he's in a group text with Arch Manning. This was like 3 or 4 months ago whenever I was out there. So, yes, like it's very, very, very hard to not buy back into Texas right now. And you know me, I've had that temperament my entire life of like, hey, you know, they're going to be good. They're going to be good. They're going to be good. And, you know, just like that Godfather, right? You know, every time I'm out, they pull me back in. It's like, I'm not going to be a Texas homer anymore, but I just, they have all the nuts and bolts, in my opinion, to be a very good program if they can put it together.
Yeah, and just a great week. Let's transition to Florida, another team that at times you have been high on. You've written about the potential, the fact that Billy Napier, quote, gets it. They've beefed up their recruiting staff. We know all this, but not a great week for Florida. First, they missed out on Jaden Rashada. Again, we can debate the missed, quote-unquote, missed out, what happened there. But they also, these to me are more almost important. The four-star, in-state, top 100 offensive lineman, Roderick Kearney. I believe he's top 100, maybe not. Then Pup Howard, a linebacker from Jacksonville, I believe, goes to South Carolina. Roderick Kearney commits to Florida State right when he's done with his Florida visit. Now, they did get a four-star yesterday in Sharif Denson, a cornerback from Jacksonville, but not a great week for Billy Napier. Do you agree kind of that those two in-state kids that went to South Carolina and Florida State respectively are almost a bigger deal than Rashada just because of what might have been going on with that Rashada?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like it's hard to break down to me. You know, it's just, and we're going to run into this problem more and more often.
Yes.
As the NIL world continues to descend into, you know, the pits of hell for us. But, you know, I do think that we still have to analyze what it means. You know what I mean? Because it's like Miami got
he's still the head coach. He's in charge of the
program. Still the head coach. And like Miami has a very good head coach too. It's like I also feel like for as much flack as Billy Napier has been getting for some of these recruiting misses the last few weeks, Mitch, like Mario Cristobal is like not getting any credit, you know? And it's like maybe he, you know, maybe that's just the world we're living in. But like, do people forget that Mario Cristobal was one of the best national recruiters in the country 2 years ago last year? You know, like, I mean, he's still a very good recruiter. And, you know,
he's recruiting to his school, his own school, even more passionate.
If I were a five-star prospect before the NIL era and I lived in Dallas and I was choosing between Oregon and Miami, I think I'd rather go to Miami. Like, I don't know if that's just like my personal sentiment, you know, and I don't know. Oregon has been a really cool program. And, you know, I can understand the appeal that it has to a lot of recruits and what it's become. And it plays in a conference that I think would be fun to play in. But like Miami's got great appeal, you know, for a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with football, too. So and just in terms of cities I'd rather live in, you know, I think that he has a chance to do something good here. Now, the thing that with Billy Napier is that even if you want to give him a pass for this, let's just say that the NIL was the main factor here. And I asked Jaden about it last night and he looked at me in the face and goes, I'm not talking about that. You know, like I think that he's like at the end of his rope.
Is he mad? Stuff.
It wasn't mad. It was stern. And I respected it. Okay. Yeah. And
you had to ask. You had to ask.
Well, of course. What am I going to do? Just be with him and not try to address the big issue? But I still talked to him about it. And he was going in depth about the things that Miami did well during the recruiting visit. And it's just like, is that not like worth? Like, I want to talk to you about this as my editor. Is that worth writing about?
Yes. Yeah, it's not. I mean, we're all in new territory here. But I was just going to say, maybe I'm being naive, but a kid's not going to want to go to a school he doesn't want to go. He's not going to go there if he doesn't want to go there.
But some people might, right? If the money is big.
You talked about going to Eastern Michigan, that you'd go to Eastern Michigan for $1 million.
If somebody gave me a boatload of money, I might go somewhere I don't want to go.
But, okay, most of these places, it's not a boatload of money versus nothing.
Yeah.
I'm just making these numbers up. Let's say someone.
But how much money would you give up to go? We talked about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
we've been over this many times. Our interest, quote unquote, interest in value and money is a little bit different. I would, if I were a recruit, and I'm putting myself back.
You're in Nashville.
17 years ago. But like, so if I was choosing between a place I really wanted to go to for $60,000 versus $90,000, that school was paying me $30,000 more and I didn't want to go to that school, I would choose the school I'd want to go to. If it was $90,000 or nothing, okay, maybe I'll go to the school I don't want to go to. But as long
but
as you're getting
like 50% more is nothing.
I'm not saying it's not nothing. I just want to go somewhere where I'm happy. Happier.
Yeah. You're a very unique person in that regard.
I don't think I'm as unique as you think. I think so. I think the quarterback.
I think you're right.
About,
I think being happy, there's a premium there for sure. So like, I don't think you're wrong, but I don't think that people who come from different backgrounds are going to poo poo 50% of the cash.
And I want to preface this by saying we know nothing about the NIL offers or what's
right,
been
going
on.
Right. We're just having a speculative
conversation. No, but with what I'm going to say here. But let's talk about the two other commits, kids. The Roderick Kearney going to Florida State and the Pup Howard going to South Carolina.
Yeah.
I will venture to guess that they're not going to those schools because of NIL differences. They might be getting something, but they're not. The difference between what South Carolina and Florida State may or may not be, quote unquote, offering them, I think Florida got out-recruited. I can't see a scenario and when these two in-state kids that they really want, they lost to just because, like, how much more money could South Carolina be offering a top 250 cornerback?
Yeah, no, I'm
to make
you.
Him not go to Florida. See my point? Did I make that clear?
Linebacker even.
Yeah, he's
because
a
I'm working on
yeah.
a story right now about how recruiting coordinators would allocate cash, and linebacker is not one of the ones that's really high on the list in terms of like where they would take their money if they had it. Yeah, that's a good point.
But did you see what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah, so it's a good point. Yeah. And like regardless of the money. You can't, like, if you're the head coach of Florida, you know, you might be able to say, yeah, well, they lost out on a five-star quarterback or a top 50 quarterback because they didn't back up the NIL truck. Sucks to suck, right? But at a certain point, you have to be held accountable. Like, I mean, not held, I mean, you have to win battles. You can't just say, well, we didn't pay as much 100 times or you're going to end up back in Dan Mullen territory. You know what I mean? Like, at a certain point, you have to get it done one way or the other. So, and like the assumption that like to me, it's just like if you're Florida, you're probably going to have a pretty competitive package at a certain point anyway. You have to do something right. to overcome that. And I think that's your point, and I understand that and I agree with it because
we can't
possibly go through the recruiting ranks and just say, well, Florida signed the number 11 class in the country. And the reason why is because everybody paid more. It's not Billy Napier's fault. Like you take this job, you get paid as much money as you get paid. To lead that program, you have to figure out a way to overcome that because you can't live in that world. The reason why the coach is different and the reason why Billy Napier has his job right now is because Florida was finishing number 11. Yeah. And I get that it's not the same world as it was a year ago, but it kind of still has to be if you're Florida because the standards don't change. So I'm with you on that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Okay, I want to. We're gonna go to the mailbag later, but I don't know if you saw on our Stars Matter channel that John Hayes, one of our colleagues, brought up some good points on Billy Napier and see what you think about this. He's like, hire was lauded by industry people. Like, it was one of those, I'm a smart football guy. Billy Napier's, you know, he's a great coach, But to the casual football fan and a 16-year-old kid, probably a name you haven't heard of before, not sure anyone knows what he looks like, is recording, and we've touched on this, is recruiting now more about celebrity than it is about being a good football coach? I would argue that that's a valid point, but you can overcome any shortcomings you might have as far as notoriety by making a quick splash. Like, this may be not the best example, but Sam Pittman, no one knew who he was, and they're not expected to recruit and compete at the same level that Florida fans are, but he got off to a great start. Everyone loves Sam Pittman. They've recruited pretty well. Like, he overcame some initial hurdles about him being kind of a no-name coach early, where Billy Napier hasn't done that. But he could if they start 4-0.
The sexiness factor of USC, and the reason why I buy into it, is because that's real, you know?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, does a 16-year-old kid who lives in Phoenix know what Kirby Smart looks like? Like, I mean, is Kirby Smart a sexy celebrity? Not physically sexy. He's a good-looking man. I just mean, is he like a sexy splash now? Maybe now, because they won a national championship. But
he was
Kirby Smart wasn't the sexy hire for Georgia, was he?
I want to speak for John here, but I would argue that he was a highly regarded defensive coordinator who won multiple national championships from the Nick Saban tree, who played at Georgia. So he was a sexy hire for Georgia, and in-state kids knew who he was because of those ties.
Can I ask you an honest question? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot or embarrass you, but I want you to be completely honest.
Okay.
If Dan Lanning walked past you in the grocery store, would you notice?
He's one where I might not, actually. Now, if you asked me this 3 years ago when I was at Athlon Sports, I could tell you every college football coach.
I don't know that I would.
Yeah.
And, like, I know what he looks like because I've written about him a lot, but, like, he kind of looks like Michael Bublé to me. But it's a perfect example of that because
I could name, of 130 coaches, I think I could probably name 100.
If you put Dan Lanning in, like, this Nike hat that I'm wearing and gym shorts and he walked around a grocery store, I think he would walk right by me and I wouldn't notice, even though I know exactly what he looks like.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like that. But if Urban Meyer walked by you, or Nick Saban walked by you, or Lincoln Riley walked by you,
well, there's
like,
only a handful
shit.
Of those. They're,
so, like, when John is, what's John saying is the celebrity matter? I think it certainly does. And, like, even like his favorite school, Penn State, like, James Franklin's a very recognizable person because he's been in the game for so long. But right. I think that if that is the answer, the problem is there's not a lot of people that would rise up to that status, which is the reason why USC paid so much money for Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a public information, but that man's probably making more than $10 million a year. So it's like that can't be the answer either, because there isn't this long unchecked list of celebrity pop stars that can be the head coach of all these programs. I mean, there's only five of them and they're all at really good jobs right now. It's like even Steve Sarkisian, before he went to Texas, might have fallen into that list of would you know who he was if he walked by you in the grocery store in Ohio.
And this might not be fair, but that's why in this current climate, it's with fans' expectations, it's so important to get off to a big start. And that big start used to be in your first season. Now that big start is in recruiting. Billy Napier hasn't coached a game yet, and we're having this conversation.
Well, and this is the number one thing I get in my comments all the time of just like, how the hell could you possibly judge?
You're handsome.
Well, and I don't get that very often. I outkicked my coverage a lot. I'm handsome.
You're offended by that, right?
Well, I understand why people think that. She's a beautiful lady, and I got to get back in shape. But I just called my wife a beautiful lady. Like, we're like 70 years old. She's a very attractive young woman. So I don't know. It's just like that is a thing, and I think John's on to something. I completely 100% went 1,000% in support of USC and their rebuild the second that Lincoln Riley got hired. And it wasn't because I thought that all of a sudden USC was just this ticking time bomb that's about to explode when they hired the offensive guru from Oklahoma. It's because he's a young, handsome, offensive-minded coach who runs a really exciting, you know, offensive plan that puts up points and that would be attractive to the people who live in Southern California. And so far, that's been right. Now, will he be able to fix their lines? That's another thing, but it's just like, you know, it's real, but it has to be overcome. And it's like maybe you could just say Florida has two things to overcome. Their coach is kind of a group of five, a guy who came from a group of five program who had Power Five experience and knows what he's doing, but has to overcome his lack of celebrity. And also they're not winning in the NIL. But like if Florida wins the Cormani McClain battle, what are people going to say? That Miami didn't offer enough? Because this is what happens. It's cyclical. Every week, somebody loses out on somebody because they didn't offer enough. And then that same school that lost out all of a sudden doesn't get the guy, or gets the guy next time, and then the other school lost out.
Yeah. Fair enough. Speaking of Miami, this one did not garner as many headlines, but Nathaniel Joseph, four-star wide receiver, number 105 nationally, former Clemson commit from Miami, committed, and there was some a lot of Louisville buzz a couple of weeks ago coming off of the Reuben Owens commitment, because I think Joseph committed or visited that weekend, so another big local get there. Your favorite school to talk about, Washington, a really nice week for Kalen DeBoer, 9 commits in the last week, 2 four-stars, defensive tackle Anthony James and four-star defensive back Vincent Holmes. James from Texas, Holmes from California. They just got another commit literally as we're talking right now. So a little momentum for Kalen DeBoer after a big weekend there. So
if Kalen DeBoer walked by me in the grocery store, I wouldn't even know he's in football. I don't know what he looks like. It's funny like that. We're like,
you will soon once he's winning big game, winning games.
Yeah, no, I maybe I will, you know, he's the, for Fresno State to Washington's a big step. So we'll see, you know, what it's like, but it's like funny when you think about it, like in the terms that John just brought up, and I'm not trying to drag us back on the last question. It's like 85%.
So yeah, are we going to rank all 131 coaches now based on how we recognize them?
Well, I wonder if we ranked the top 100 coaches based on marketability or recognizability. He would probably be in the bottom 10%, right?
P5, yeah.
Bottom 10% of the P5.
Yeah, yeah. But we couldn't, yeah, okay. Alabama, you know what? As much as we talk about how awesome Alabama is, all right, we don't seem to talk about Alabama much on a week-to-week basis because they seem to do all their stuff late in the process. Now there's a lot of NIL talk there at Alabama. Like they're losing some kids because of NIL, but that's another topic. But they did get 5-star cornerback Tony Mitchell from Thompson High School in Alabaster that has emerged. Aaron Suttles wrote about this last in the offseason, I think, how Thompson High School has really emerged as a pipeline there. 5-star corner, but now Peter Woods, a 5-star defensive lineman from the same high school, is announcing soon, and Aaron believes that there's a lot of Clemson buzz there. Mm-hmm. Alabama also got 3-star athlete Brayson Hubbard from Pascagoula, Mississippi, and an unranked junior college transfer yesterday, a linebacker, although he had offers from Florida, Texas A&M, and Oregon. So we can talk, the numbers are down as usual, but Alabama's average player rating is number one in the country, so is this just a typical Alabama cycle?
Yeah, I mean, aren't they always slow?
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll worry about that later. Their average player ranking is over 95 right now, isn't it? And if it's over 95, you know, Tony Mitchell, he just committed like 3 days ago. You know, I can't possibly have a discussion about being concerned about Alabama like ever, but certainly not 3 days after getting a 5-star prospect. So, you know, I think that they are.
Should I write a note? Like, Oh, you didn't respond to my Slack message a couple weeks ago.
What was
when it? Alabama got a commitment, a 2024 commitment.
Oh, I saw that, though. I talked about it with somebody else.
From a kid who had offers from Alabama A&M, like a bunch of FCS schools, maybe Georgia State, and I wanted you to write a column how the dynasty is dead because Alabama's offering 24 kids with no other offers.
When Alabama got their doors blown off by Clemson in the playoff a few years ago, the next year, Nick Saban's class was like, had like 4 or 5 commits in July, and then none of them were really highly rated. And I think I wrote in a mailbag, like, is this the beginning? Are we starting to feel the end of the beginning of the end here? And then like 2 months later, they got like 7 5 stars. And it was just like, I'm such a moron and I'm never doing that again. And it's like, it's funny because
sort of like never saying Texas is back.
Yeah. But I'm back on Texas, I think.
So you're back on Texas is back. Okay.
The question is whether I'm back. You know, Texas has always been back. It's but whether or not I'm back to.
I can envision. You know how when you see, I this seems to be like more of an SEC thing, but I don't know. Like when teams win a national title, all the players will dive in the middle of the field and they'll have the logo of the team, like the SEC or national title photo. I just see Texas winning a title in a few years, an SEC title in their first year with an SEC sign. All the players lying on the ground and Ari in the middle with his finger up, number one. You think they'll invite you in there?
I just like don't know which programs like I have to root for the most. It's like I feel like I'm so like the number one USC fan right now in the entire world.
You root for them not because you're rooting for USC, you're rooting to be right.
Yeah,
right.
Well, of course
Yeah.
But also, I'm okay being wrong. So, like, I don't, like, people are like, you know, the thing that's been happening a lot to me is Ohio State picked up a top 200 commit in the defensive side of the ball. And now every single time Ohio State gets a commit, a bunch of Ohio State fans tweeted me, like, look at you, moron. And it's just like, am I, like, not allowed to just talk about theory and like, thought, right. like, have any original thoughts whatsoever? Like, it's like, okay, fine. Ohio State is the perfect program. Nothing will ever go wrong. They'll sign the number one class every year. They are amazing. Okay, that's it. We never have to talk about Ohio State ever again. And it's like kind of like the same thing with Alabama, too, though. Like, it's just like, okay, they're great. What they get, even when they get a five-star commitment, I don't even, like, write about it sometimes because it's, like, so regular at this point. It's just, like, not even interesting. So, okay, Ohio State, you're perfect. We'll never discuss anything again as it pertains to not being perfect, and I'm sorry for ever having an outside thought that doesn't equate to them being perfect. Okay.
I believe that you believe all of, and I'm not going to call them hot takes because you believe them, like, and you don't need me to defend you, but Ohio State, there were some things going on. You made some good points, some observations, so you throw out a theory that this could happen, and then when it doesn't happen,
I'm an asshole.
You know, everyone says you're an idiot.
Yeah, right, okay.
Right.
And the other thing, too, is
this podcast would be boring if you didn't have any
good takes. Also, like, what's a hot take? Like, I've heard people say I've got hot takes. It's like, when Skip Bayless intentionally says LeBron's not good, that's a hot take. Like, insane bullshit that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. When I say stuff on the podcast, I like to think the things that I say are reasoned with fact and knowledge of, like, what we're talking about. And, like, yes, Ohio State has now got the number one class in the country, and maybe they'll sign 12 top 100 players, and I'll look like a complete idiot, but the theory and the discussion was based in an understanding of the way this stuff works, and if Ohio State overcomes that, then that's an example of Ryan Day doing an amazing recruiting job. Not that the challenges didn't exist. And I'm going to write that column at the end of the cycle if it gets to that point. So, you know, there's still a long way to go there. But it's like, this is a recruiting podcast. And if you just want us to go down a list, I'll just sit here like this with my arms like this to my side. And Mitch can just go down the list of everybody who committed this week. And we'll go, yeah, big get. Oh, this is an important target. And then just, like, just say the most generic bullshit that we can come up with so that I'm not criticized for being wrong when I'm not even making a prediction. Then we'll do that. I mean, it's up to you. Like, I get wound up a little bit.
No, I understand. Let's talk about Ohio State.
Great.
As you mentioned, number one class. Some idiot I heard on a podcast said they'd finish, like, number 25 in recruiting.
That's the other thing that's never happened.
Yeah. So number one class, 14 commitments. Among the top 10 teams in the 247 composite, only Georgia has fewer commitments. So this is clearly not a case of Ohio State vaulting to the number one spot because they have a lot of commitments. Their average player rating of 94.12 is second behind Alabama at 9.534. They have five top 100 kids, four top 50 kids, two five-stars. They got, is it Kyan Lee, a cornerback from Cedar Grove High in Georgia, 145. But here's a new term. Landis and I were going back and forth on Slack. A kid you've written a lot about, Calvin Simpson Hunt, a cornerback from Texas, who was committed, Waxahachie, Texas, committed to Texas Tech. He's been visiting. Steve Wiltfong from 247, who's most people consider the best in the business when it comes to the crystal ball predictions. He crystal balled him to Ohio State, deleted it, and then Bill Landis reported yesterday that he was re-crystal balled. I love that term. Someone's been re-crystal balled to Ohio State. So keep your eyes on Calvin Simpson Hunt, Ohio State.
I have a hot take about crystal balls. Can I interrupt you and say it?
Let's hear it.
I think that if you lock in a crystal ball, then you don't get to change it.
Yep.
Which means that you don't put it in until you're ready to put it in. And then if you don't put one in and the kid commits, then you're not graded for it. But I think the crystal ball should be there and I get it. Like, crystal balls are probably more to help people realize, like, who's trending and where kids are leaning in the moment. But it's like, some of these guys have, like, a 97% conversion rate. And it's like, well, they changed it six times before the end of the commitment. So, but Calvin Simpson Hunt is a very, very, very good player. I've seen him in person. I wrote about him a few weeks ago. And this is the challenge that Texas Tech is going to get whenever they find somebody that's too good. And I love their strategy. Just, you know, sign a bunch of 6'1" freak athletes that might not be that great at football yet, but are physically insanely gifted and hope for the best down the line. But if you actually are super right, then you have to beat off Alabama and Ohio State, and that might be a hard thing to do. So I don't know.
You're going to lose some.
Yeah. But in not just some, you're going to lose the ones at the top. So like that's the – you don't lose like, oh, you're going to lose like a random player here and there. No, you're going to lose the top echelon of your class at the end when somebody scoops them out. It's like that's the – he goes to an official visit to Ohio State, walks to the Woody Hayes Center, sees all the trophies, sees the Heismans. The facility's insane, and the draft pick wall is pretty extensive. And it kind of changes your perspective a little bit about like how much relationships matter to you. And I'm not trying to speak for him. Maybe he'll still end up at Texas Tech. But I don't know if I were a five-star or a four-star, five-star prospect who had NFL aspirations, if who discovered me first would be really a big deal to me if I had the opportunity to go to a place that turns out NFL draft picks like they're handing out Halloween candy. Ohio State's perfect.
Speaking about another perfect school, LSU. As I mentioned earlier, two of the top three players in the state of Louisiana are now committed to Texas. The highest rated in-state player in LSU's class right now. What do you think it is? What number player in Louisiana do you think is the highest rated
player that's committed or the highest rated player in Louisiana?
Highest rated player who's committed to LSU in the state.
Oh man, I don't even know.
What number?
277.
No. Like what number in the state?
Oh, 8.
Like if you went down, number 15.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Trey Holly, the running back, is number 230 nationally. So it's obviously, it's a great year in the state. Number 15 players, 230.
Oh, only wow. That is a really good player for the state. Yeah,
three of the top 10 players in the state have committed, Arch, Derek Williams, and Eli Holstein. So I've been reading some stuff. I read Brody Miller's story, recruiting story the other day. Too early to panic. Some of these guys have been uncommitted. They will get some of those guys. But in a really good year in state, it looks like that new staff isn't exactly going to clean up.
Well, three out of the four top-rated players in the state are committed to out-of-state schools, and two of them are five-star quarterback. Oh, Eli Holstein's a four-star, but you get the point.
Yeah.
And Shelton Sampson, I think, is going to LSU, right? It seems like he's a five-star receiver that is still going to be in the fold. But if you go – I'm looking at the list now, actually, and I'm seeing a lot of crystal balls to other schools that aren't LSU. So, like, Tackett Curtis is a linebacker that's really high on Perfect Ohio State's board, and I think that Perfect Ohio State's going to get him. At least I think Landis does. So, I don't know. I was very curious to see how LSU was going to do, and – the one thing that LSU simply cannot do and will never survive is losing the stranglehold that they have on Louisiana. And there might be like weird years where, you know, you have a quarterback or two that are in the top five that you don't get. And like Arch Manning, like, I don't even know. Can you possibly give Brian Kelly shit for not getting him? Like, that's just such a weird recruitment. And he's his first year, you know.
There's been three elite Manning recruits. All went to the same high school in New Orleans, and none of them have gone to LSU. I don't think that's a
yeah. And it's like last year they got Walker Howard, so like they're fine. I don't know if you need it. There's some schools that sign 5-star quarterbacks every year. I don't know that you need to do that.
You know who does? Ohio State, because
they're perfect. Yeah. It is like one of these things too. And I got a question. Somebody tweeted at me. How much do recruiting rankings matter in?
They matter a lot.
In June, and maybe I'll add that to my mailbag for next week. But I'm not doing a mailbag next week
because you're going to be on vacation.
I'm going on vacation to Palm Beach.
I get a week off from Ari.
I'm still going to text you stuff though.
Please do.
But I don't know. It's just like sometimes too. It's just like we have to analyze things as we go and as we get information. And right now, again, theory, it looks like LSU isn't going to have like LSU could have signed a top seven class, which is Louisiana kids alone this year if they did that. And it looks like based on reading the tea leaves right now that they're not going to 100% take advantage of the in-state prospects that they have this year. Is that Brian Kelly? Is it just a weird cycle? I don't know. I'll let you decide that. But that is the one thing that LSU absolutely could never do is lose the stranglehold on their state because that's been their number one recruiting advantage.
Don't know the answer to this question, but with recruiting calendar accelerated even more with the June official visits in the last 2 years, does that put new coaching staffs behind the eight ball even more? Like in a normal year, if Brian Kelly gets hired in late November or December, he's got almost a full year on this class of 2023 kids in Louisiana because most of them used to not commit until, you know, even with the early signing period, he had through the football season. But now when so many of them are committing in June, that new staff doesn't, with the dead periods, they don't have that much time to get in with these players. Does that make sense at all?
It does, yeah. I think that there's a lot of things that are working against coaches right now. I think recruiting is just going to be harder and harder. You know what I was thinking about while you were asking that question? Because
Mitch is a smart guy. Yeah, Mitch, was that what you were thinking?
And he's handsome. No, I was thinking, where do we put Brian Kelly into that like John Hayes rock star discussion?
I think he's pretty high in that sort of like awkward, goofy, older guy rock star. He's a guy that people know who he is. You don't coach at Notre Dame for 10 years without being a quote-unquote rock star.
Yeah.
You agree?
I guess. Yeah, I think I'd put him closer to the rock star than... I mean, if Brian Kelly walked next to me in the grocery store, I'd be like, holy shit, that's Brian Kelly. So like that's... He doesn't fall under that category. But I do think that the right coaches completely change that. Like if Lincoln Riley takes the job in December at USC, it's like, okay... He's got 2 weeks to get these commits, and I think he did a pretty good job closing out with some big-time prospects in last year's class, and 2023 is already on the right track. It's like, it depends on who you are, I think, is the answer to that question, and I think that Brian Kelly should probably rise to the standard where he doesn't fall behind. Like, for Billy Napier, way harder, I think. And, like, Billy Napier came in last year, and in December...
And more in-state competition. More in-state competition,
guys,
too.
And took a guy from Georgia. So I was like, holy crap, this guy is like, I'm in on this. You know, and now we're having the conversation today that we're having. But Brian Kelly, I think, should be able to overcome that.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Clemson has done well of late. Four-star interior offensive lineman from Odessa Permian today. Didn't write his name down.
I have to go. I have to go there. I just like the movie. His name is Harris Sewell.
Okay. So of Friday Night Lights fame. Did you read the book?
No, I saw the movie a thousand times though.
Yeah, I read the book. Seen the movie.
Is the book better than the movie?
It's just. Yeah, the movie was really good. The book was better.
Is the book fiction?
No. The TV show is fiction.
No, the TV show I know is fiction. Was the movie fiction?
No, the whole thing's real. The book was done...
No, I know, but like, it's dramatized, right? Like, there's like...
No, the movie is probably dramatized to a degree. The book is 100% just great reporting. It's fantastic.
I'm going to read the book.
You should read it just because to see how high school... How it's different now than it was back then.
Because I've talked to Texas coaches, and I've like wondered, because when I first moved here, and I think I sounded like a moron, but I said, is like the Friday Night Lights thing, like in these small towns, is that like real? Is it kind of like the way the movie depicted? And he's like, that's all bullshit. Like, it's not like that. It's like, all I think about is like the kids cutting class and drinking beer on a couch on the front lawn and running the asylum and like everybody running. Like, I know people care. I know businesses might close to watch the games on Friday nights, but like the way they depict the student athletes, like the way that Varsity Blues was and all the, like, that's how I view. And I don't think there's a lot of high school situations that are like that. Maybe there are. I don't know. I would love, I've just driven through Odessa and I've gone to Permian's parking lot to see the school. And like, if you didn't know, it just looks like a regular high school. And I think that their stadium is huge, but it's far away from their high school.
Sort of like Pitt,
like,
in Miami.
Yeah, it's like campus. Pitt is off campus, but like Pitt isn't in Pittsburgh. Like it's not on campus, but it's like downtown Pittsburgh. And like, I think you could walk to the stadium. It might be a long walk, but right? I don't think you could walk from Coral Gables to the stadium they play in.
I've driven through Pittsburgh once. I've never been there.
Pittsburgh is one of the five worst traffic cities in America.
Really?
Yeah, in my opinion.
In fact, I don't know how big Pittsburgh is, but I was talking to my kids about this the other day, like the largest cities that I've never been to, and I did not include Pittsburgh. I think Miami and San Antonio were the two biggest cities I've never been to. So,
what's your standard for been to? Like, spent the night and like it went into the town?
Yeah, like airport doesn't count. Like, I've been to the Miami airport. That doesn't count. Like, gone there for
what if you were on a road trip and you're driving from Philadelphia to Columbus and you have to drive through Pittsburgh and you go through the downtown area? Does that count as being there?
No, no. Like, I've driven through Louisville literally 50 times on the way to the in-laws. I have been to Louisville other than that, but I would not count that as
being there. Oh, I count that.
Here's an example. When we went, when I first started The Athletic, we had the summit in Indianapolis at the Combine. I'd driven through Indianapolis, same thing, on the way up to Michigan 50 times, but I'd never stopped in Indianapolis, so I would have never said I'd been to Indianapolis until I spent 3 days there for the Combine.
Oh.
So.
Oh, I think driving through counts.
Okay, well, we'll have to agree to disagree.
Because, like, you see, it's like seeing it, right? Like, you need to go sit at Buffalo Wild Wings to get the experience?
That doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. I was going to dive into some mailbag questions. Do you have anything else? Anybody else come in?
As we've been talking, there's been so many story ideas that have been popping into my head, and, like, I'm trying to figure out what I should do after we're done here. But we can talk about that when we're done.
Okay, good. Michael H., I have a two-part question here. Michael H. wants to know, is Tuck coming? And Sean K. wants to know, to what extent is Tuck coming?
You'll have to ask Tuck that.
Okay. I'll put that down. I put those down from last week as a joke. Because it was on the heels of your Michigan State.
They got a crystal ball from a prospect that is a top 100 player. And it seems like they're going to get him. I can't pronounce his name very well. Can you try to pronounce it
by
for
Job?
Me?
By Job? B-A-I? Yeah.
Joby or Job?
Job.
He is the number 64 overall player nationally out of Norman, Oklahoma.
Because he's not from Norman. I mean, he goes to high school there, I guess. But his top three, everyone expected, was going to be Michigan State, Vanderbilt, and Miami. Like, he just went an official visit to Miami, and I think to Vanderbilt and then Miami. And then he dropped three with Alabama. Supposedly, he's not a committable offer. And then Oklahoma, who says he's not going to, even though he's from there. So
is he from there or not from there? What did you say?
Well, I think he went to high school, but he's not. I don't know if he's. I don't think he's American. I didn't grow up in America.
Okay, yeah, so he's not like a. He's not a huge Norman culture person that wasn't offended by my USC LA take.
Yeah, he was going to go to Oklahoma until he heard your take and that you don't like Norman. So he's
like, just sitting waiting for the USC offer. Last night when I was, it was in late June and I was on this football field last night in the sunset and it was 67 degrees outside and the air was blowing through my hair and I was like, I don't understand how anybody could ever want to live anywhere else. It was a brisk, the air was crisp. You could smell the sea air. There's seagulls flapping around. It's like, I would never want to live here. Also, he's the number 64 overall player in the country as an edge rusher, and it's not a committable offer to Alabama. Tell me when things are really good for your program.
Right. All right, we've talked a lot about this, so I don't want to spend too much time on this question, but Cody asked, and these are from last week because we didn't get to them. Which of the Florida Big Three would you put your money on being the best over the next 10 years? It's got to be Miami right now, right? The look of, usually not lacking in like a quick response or a take.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Florida State does not seem to have a lot of buzz right now. You're not going to answer that.
I think Florida State's recruiting coordinator that he just got is a really sharp dude.
Okay.
And they're about to get another commitment. I think that's really good. And they just got another one. They just took from Florida after he left.
Kearney kid,
I mean, like, I don't want to be the person that puts the stake in the ground and say Florida State's dead yet.
Okay.
But that's like fair. Of all the coaches, like Mike Norvell probably finishes third on like the sexy meter. And like Mario Cristobal, it's probably Miami because they seem to have the most NIL momentum and they have a coach that was a very good national recruiter. And their coach is also from Miami, which is about taking the talent that's in South Florida and keeping it home. I think that like the three strikes I would give to Miami if I had to guess. But like it's a hard question because I think
it's a good question though. The fact that you couldn't
Mr. Athlon, who knows everything about college football off the top of his head, have all three of them been really, really good at the same time before?
Good question.
I know Miami and Florida State have
early 90s. Early 90s, I would say so.
Because also, too, if Mario Cristobal does a good job and they're getting a quarterback from California, if he keeps 25 or 30% of the elite level prospects at home. Oh, Mike Zimmerman just said 2003, they were all very good. I was 14, so I don't know.
Yeah, or the early 90s, too, I believe. Like, that's when the...
Yeah, but I do think that there is a chance that Miami could be awesome with out-of-state talent as much as in-state talent. Florida is owns the South, and then Florida State does its own thing and picks up what Miami doesn't get. In Florida, there's a path for all three of them being good. But I think we need to start with one of them being good first, and then we'll go from there.
Ryan A., you're starting the football program at a newly formed ACC power in Northwest Georgia. Okay, Rome, Georgia. You have the option of signing Kirby Smart to a 10-year contract, Nick Saban to a 5-year contract, or Ernie Wilson America to a 12-year contract. Which do you choose? Kirby Smart to a 10-year contract. He's from Georgia. He's won a national championship as the head coach at the University of Georgia.
Yeah, it's probably Kirby. I mean, like,
this is two questions in a row that.
I'm just trying to think. Like, are we gonna just like Nick Saban for 5 years is a long freaking time. Nick Saban for 5 years is a long time.
Yeah.
I
know. And he's no doubt going to jumpstart your program, and you're going to be awesome to hand it off.
Yeah, also, like, the guy that is the person you were hired, like, is probably not who he is without Nick. So, it's just like, but then also, too, he's an established national championship winning coach from Florida who just won, or from Georgia, who just won a national championship at Georgia for the first time in 1980. It's like, both of those options are great. Who would be the coach that you would hire for 12 years if you had to take that option?
And it could not be...
You could hire anybody else in America, not those two, for 12 years. It's like, because 12 years is a long time, but I certainly don't think I would take anybody over Kirby Smart for 2 more years. So that option was completely out from the second I heard it. But if you had to take that option, and the question was just... Are you kidding?
Yeah. I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
Lincoln Riley?
I think it would be Lincoln Riley. Because he's young, too.
But he's not. You're not quite as sexy in Rome, Georgia, as you are in.
I don't think it gives a. LA, is Norman, Oklahoma, a sexy place? Oh God, I did it again.
Yeah. Okay.
Is Tuscaloosa, Alabama, sexy? I guess Athens is a cool college town, but like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think any of these places are particularly sexy, except
couple,
LA.
Couple more. And by the way, if you want to get a question asked on this, ask about Wake Forest. I'm going to be a Wake Forest dad in about a month and a half. This is from Gregory C. Wake Forest made a little splash last week, signing. They didn't sign. Getting commitment from Antonio Robinson Jr. over a few decent Power 5 schools. And seemed to be, Ari's not even paying attention to my Wake Forest question. And seems to be in the running for a couple other 4-stars. This isn't the first time the Deeks have landed a 4-star recruit. This is kind of a general question, not specifically about Wake Forest. But do you see this as a sign Wake Forest will be playing and occasionally winning among bigger schools from a recruiting standpoint? I just think like programs that say, they don't swim in those waters. They want to swim in those waters. They just haven't been able to. So as programs get better and build and sustain success, they're going to start recruiting a little higher level. So a program like Wake Forest that keeps having winning seasons, they're more likely to get a few more 4-stars every year.
Yeah. I talked to the dude that created the Wake Forest Collective and I wrote a story about it.
I want to tailgate with him before a game this year.
I'll get you his number. He probably would. He listens to the podcast.
He DM'd me first.
That's right. Okay. I'm the bridesmaid. I get it. He was kind of stunned at the, not stunned. I don't think that he was even thinking along those lines. Like when he made it. And it's like, you never know what, like a place like, I think that everybody could build something. Because like if you look at a lot of the programs that are very good, what is it about those programs other than the history of how good they were that set them apart? I guess financial buy-in, you know, university support from administrators and fan passion. And like Wake Forest is an interesting place because it's such a small university. There aren't a lot of students. So like I don't know, like I don't think they'll ever be Alabama. But why can Clemson own the ACC right now and then Wake Forest has zero shot? Like tradition. It's history. Tradition. Like what? Clemson's got a huge like history of 1944 being awesome. Like I don't know anything about their history other than Woody.
And buy-in. Like schools like Wake Forest can be committed to football. Stanford can be committed. Northwestern can be committed to football. But it's all relative. They're not committed on the same.
Yeah. To the same. And I think you can even make the case that Michigan's not committed on the same degree. And they made the playoff last year.
Which is fine. Yeah. Yeah. So, which is fine. I mean, so.
Yeah. I think, I wonder, it's like the question is how much can NIL collectives and all the money that's getting poured into the kids' pockets change the direction of a program? But I wonder how has that adjusted the glass ceiling that is above some programs when the university itself isn't bought into being amazing like some of the other places are?
I was just approaching it more from a football standpoint. Like the more you prove that you're going to be good every year, you're going to get the attention of a couple more 4 stars.
Sure. I think if Wake Forest went had the year that they had last year, 7 years in a row, then in year eight, they'd be able to get better players.
Yeah. 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 All right. One more question, then we'll go trivia. Aaron B, can Brent Pry get Virginia Tech recruiting in the top 20? I realize the program has limitations, but are classes in the 16 to 20 range possible? I don't see how many limitations they have.
Well, I was going to ask, what are the limitations?
Yeah. I mean, you could say geography, but they're in the Southeast. They have an in-state program that's Virginia that they should be able to out-recruit. Of course, there's going to be competition for players in Virginia, North Carolina. We know what North Carolina's done there. But Virginia Tech had the coolest player in the country, and Michael Vick first stretch there. Andy Bitter just wrote about it. Go back and read. Kevin Jones, the number one recruit in the country in 2001 or 2002, picked Virginia Tech over his home state, Penn State. They have been elite. That's a program, great fans. I don't see that high of a ceiling for them. I mean, I don't see why they can't have a really high ceiling.
Yeah, I don't know why they signed the number 59 overall class in 2020. Like, I mean, they've had some really, really bad classes, you know, but they've also had some good ones. And it's like, I don't know, when I was a kid, Virginia Tech was badass. So what is it that needs to happen? It's like Virginia Tech is certainly not in the hopeless category.
Not at all. I mean, that was one of the college visits I went on my son. I'd never been there. Cool little college town. Stadium. It's not the biggest stadium, but it's great for them. I'm a Virginia Tech advocate.
Yeah. I think they should be better than they've been.
Yes. Yes.
Like if you think about the ACC in general, there's like six teams in the ACC that are trying to like take over the conference, and like Virginia Tech doesn't seem to be in that mix, and I think they should be.
But I think that's what gets fans going. It's when they don't feel like that is what's happened there. Are you ready for a little trivia?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to adjust this. The last 2 years, 2022 class and 23 class commitments. So 2022 signees, 23 commitments. How many programs assigned 3 5-star players?
Including the commitments. So have gotten at least 3 5-star players?
Yes.
Eight. Okay,
you've had a good run of not embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I thought maybe Texas have just joined the list today. That's why I was trying to like I overdid it a little bit. So can I guess the programs?
Yes, that's more the point. Was to talk about the programs.
Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, for sure. Well, hold on. Right.
Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. Yes, Georgia is second with 6. Alabama's first with 5. Ohio State is fourth with 4.
Texas A&M because they had like 9 last year.
Yeah, they had 8. They're first.
I think Penn State is there?
Penn State's 4. They had 3 last year. They had 1 this year.
Clemson?
3. Yes.
Okay, so how many more do I have to go?
You didn't say Texas, but you did earlier.
Yeah, Texas.
Yeah, I got 1 more. Picture a sexy coach on the West Coast.
Oh, SC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should have been one of the easy ones. That's the one I didn't get.
Right.
I didn't know if there was like a sneaky one, because I think Notre Dame had two.
North Carolina, Notre Dame, and Tennessee are the other ones with two.
Yeah.
So.
It didn't do so bad.
No. Your goal is not to embarrass yourself.
Yeah, I mean, some of those the first ones were pretty embarrassing, but I feel like I'm hitting a good groove.
Yeah. Well, this is actually, I have fun every week, Bar. This to me was a really fun show.
It was, yeah. The hour went by quickly.
Lots to talk about. Okay. You will be in California for two more full days or just one more?
I leave Friday morning.
So it's a 3-day camp.
Yeah, the big like culmination of the camp is Thursday for 2 hours in the middle of the day.
Cool.
But like when I was booking my flight, it was a very hard thing to schedule because we didn't get the full actual schedule till like two days ago. So
yeah, why would they do that? How many media are out there, by the way?
Not as much as last year. I feel like the event is, well, I mean, part of the reason too is that usually the Ohio State beat sends like 27 people, but this year they don't have like a clear cut target that they're going after. So there's no. Like reason for the entire media contingent to come in, but gotcha. You know, 247 Rivals guys all there. There's just not as many people there in general this year.
Oh, one more thing I need to say.
Yeah,
just pay attention. I'm worried about you, Ari. Sources told me that Ari got hit by two footballs yesterday when he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, because people were missing them so badly. Jaden Rashada hit me in the groin. Antonio was like texting Mitch live updates of how many times I got hit by a football.
Yeah.
I was texting my wife good night, and all of a sudden I got hit in the side of the face with a football that Jaden Rashada airmailed by 9 yards. But
yeah, I've asked for our bosses to invest in an Ari cam today so we can see you actually getting hit by a ball.
Yeah. No, but I really enjoy going out there. It's fun to hang out and watch these guys, and I'm trying my best to produce as much content as I can for you. So I thought it was a good show and a good way to wrap it up. You want me to take them home?
Take us home.
That was Stars Matter. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.